have got the Ravenwood Raptors coming in to Coach's Corner tonight. It's Thursday night. It's already dark. I'm not adjusted to it. I'm never going to get adjusted to daylight, quote, savings time. I don't know where the savings is. I don't know where the daylight is either. But we're at Coach's Corner here at Rouse Barbecue, Stormy Mitchell, along with Terry Merrill. We do have Coach Matt Daniels and players coming here shortly from Ravenwood. Terry, it's always good to see you. It's always great to be at Rouse Barbecue.
Stormy, good to see you. And am I dreaming, or is this the first show we've done this year where it's dark before we go on the air?
It's pitch dark, and you are absolutely correct.
Well, you can still feed four for $15.99 here at Strouso, whether it's daylight or dark. Just come on by, drive through the window. Come on in, and Stormy's here tonight. He's got his warm clothing on tonight. 58 degrees outside, but it feels like 48. But Stormy got a good crowd in here tonight. Looking forward, as you mentioned earlier, to a great show.
We've already had several families come and go. I know one family just got finished eating. They left. They were the BGA crowd, and we got the Franklin crowd here. They're coming to give due respect to the Ravenwood Raptors as they show up here shortly. But it's always going to be, it's always fun. It's Stroud, and like I said, feed a family of four for $15.99. I can't wait to take home my, well, Wesley has been enjoying the chicken and the pork I've been taking home, along with the mac and cheese and the baked beans. And I usually get one meal out of it, and he goes, "Oh, Dad, I'll take the rest of this." I go, "Great." So there goes my Stroud.
Well, yeah, you won't, you're lucky to get home with it. But Stormy, I have not had the banana pudding yet this year. And
I haven't either.
I may break down.
Well, Terry,
I'm trying not to, though.
Well, the reason I haven't, it's because, one, I had surgery back in April, and the doctor said, "Okay, now you have no excuse not to lose 20-plus pounds." Thanks a lot, Doc. And I have done so. Thank you very much. And my cholesterol is down. My weight's down. My blood pressure's down. So my doctor can take a long hike, as far as I'm concerned. But I haven't been able to enjoy the banana pudding. But I think, you know what, I'm glad you planted that seed.
Well, it's hard to come to Stroud's as long as we've been here this season without doing that, but we've done it so far.
We'll be great restraint.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Good way to put it. Stormy, college football is in their final stages, I guess, regular season, and we're going to talk a lot about high school tonight. We're in the middle of playoffs, second round coming up tomorrow night. Top four, and we'll move on. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan are your top four in the college football playoff poll this week.
I know you agree with the top two. Do you agree with the bottom three?
No, sir, I do not.
I thought that. I just could read the way you, your inflection, your voice was, I think you said Michigan like you got a bad taste in your mouth. What?
Well, I tell you, I like Michigan, but the problem there is they lost to Notre Dame, and so they got it right as far as that's concerned, but
first game of the season.
But I like Georgia a lot. I still like them. They've got a big game with Auburn and between the hedges Saturday. That's really going to be a huge game.
Oh, but.
And if they win it, it doesn't matter. It's Georgia-Alabama in the SEC championship game, but Georgia can't ever afford to jump their toe against Auburn because that knocks them out of Final Four consideration, right? So we'll
see.
That's
true. Do you think Georgia showed everything, all their cards, when they played against Kentucky?
Well, all they showed, basically what I saw, was a very powerful running game that they hadn't showed in a while before that. When Swift ran 87 yards, that sort of put the lights out in Lexington for the night.
And this is the best defensive Kentucky team, Terry, I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's,
they are good.
At 65 years of old age, that's a lot of football.
That's a lot of football. But sort of the strange thing is, speaking of Kentucky, a very good football team, as you mentioned, they traveled down to Big Orange Country Saturday.
Yes, I just got an invite for Tommy Campsey.
Well,
he wanted me to ride up there with him this week, and I said, "Tommy, I've got other things to do Saturday, and plus
plenty of things to do.
I think the Big Orange is going to get whooped."
But the strange thing to me is that line in Kentucky is only a 3-point favorite, and I do not get that. So that tells me, as we've talked many times,
why do you think it should be higher or lower?
I think the bookies are probably right on. They usually are, but why, I'm not sure. Maybe it's because Kentucky will not be quite as sky high as they were last week to Georgia. Maybe a little hangover there, possibly.
Possibly.
And the Big Orange coming off of that slow, lethargic leapwalk against Charlotte last week.
Comatose,
you know.
They should refund money after that accused of a ball.
Right. And the other thing is, Tennessee's got to win two of these next three games, their last three games. And they got Missouri up to Kentucky and then Vanderbilt. They need to win two of those to get to a bowl game.
Right? I know you're not a gambling man because your preacher would not.
No, I quit that a long time ago.
What would you say the odds, because you are a sports fanatic, what would you say the odds on Tennessee getting to 6-6 and making a bowl right now? If you had to prognosticate.
Well, let's see. They're 4-5 right now, correct?
Yes.
So they've got to win two of the next three. And you're
right.
What you're asking me?
Right.
I would say less than 50%.
I think you're absolutely
being honest with you.
I think you're absolutely correct.
And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see any way they beat Missouri with the lock kid at quarterback and the secondary Tennessee.
And Mr. Manuel Hall from Centennial.
That's not a good, not a good matchup.
Isn't it great to see him back at the hamstring? Unfortunately, went through the passing of his father.
That's
deep
right.
Sympathies to the family, but he was back last week.
Yeah.
Looked like a racehorse out there.
He did. And Corey Fittoni, of course, punched for the Tigers.
We don't want to see him on the field.
Correct. You probably won't, because you'll be seeing him kicking off a lot, though. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But that's LSU trying to get back on track.
What was your thoughts on the LSU-Alabama game? 29-0, dunking in Death Valley. The only team that died was LSU.
I think the best team won, and I think Alabama's defense finally woke up. They played their best game.
Was that the 92 defense that showed up other night?
It could have passed for any. They were good.
Antonio Langston looked like he was playing at cornerback. I'm telling you, that was scary how good they were.
It was. And to shut out offense, LSU's offense is not bad ordinarily. But Coach Orgeron just said after the game, he said, look, we got to do some better recruiting. I'm hoping his players weren't listening to that. We got to do better recruiting than what we've got now. He said that in so many
that
words.
That seems to be a theme, man. That's what Coach Ruitt said about 4 weeks ago.
He did. Well, we know that to be true.
But, I mean,
no doubt. But, you know, LSU is doing pretty well except for that game. And, you know, they've got a chance. But
the problem is Alabama is the bar, and each year they raise the bar.
Yeah. And LSU can get well quick because they play Arkansas. They're 17-point favorites. So we'll see what happens.
The story kid's going to have a bad story.
Probably
it's
so.
It's going to be a short story for him.
Probably so. If you're a Commodore fan, you go up to Columbia, Missouri Saturday. You're a 15-point underdog. Stormy, can Vandy get it together and make this a football game?
I don't know. They had a nice game over at Arkansas. Glad to see the Doors win. I expect Missouri to run over the Doors. I don't think the Doors have an answer for Mr. Locke and Mr. Hall. And I can't remember the running back's name for Missouri, but the bottom line is I think Missouri's going to win that ball game. I think the point spread is a little high. I would say 10 would have been a more reasonable, but I'm not a bookie and I'm not pretending to be on the radio.
No, I agree with you. They got that quarterback Locke, though. He's a big-time draft choice, and it'll be hard for them to beat him.
He's going
to
be fun to watch.
He is. So we got lots of high school football. Round two is mentioned, and as you mentioned earlier, Ravenwood head coach Matt Daniels joins us in a few minutes, and he's bringing five of his star players, and we look forward to visiting with them. And they have a tough matchup tomorrow night. They head over to Cane Ridge after a forfeit in round one last week, and we'll talk with him about that. But, Stormy, what was your take on that?
I'm glad you brought that up.
We talked about this last week a little bit, right?
I am so glad you brought that up because Marcus and I discussed it the other night on our pregame, and I deemed it the double secret probation. Now, where does that phraseology come from? We're going to place you on double secret probation.
Watergate? I don't have a clue.
The old animal house.
Yes. John Belushi, absolutely.
The Delta Tall Kai's got put on double secret probation. Yeah. Well, we discussed that other night.
Right.
I agreed with the quote probation. I agreed with the 2 year suspension for playoffs. What I did not agree with, and I thought it was a travesty, and I use that word with capital T and capital R, and now let you spell the rest of yourself. The video was out Friday night. CSSAA should have had that decision made by the latest 4 o'clock on Saturday, not 2 p.m. last Thursday afternoon.
So
that's a joke.
So do we have any more information as to why nobody knew till Thursday?
No, it's just it's a joke, and I'll leave it at that.
So,
they're listening. I hope I'm clear about what I said.
So it goes down, Ravenwood 1-0 over Overton. How about that?
1-0.
So the Raptors, without having to play, advance to Cane Ridge tomorrow night in round two, who got by Franklin. Very misleading score, 41-6. And Stormy, if you're a Franklin fan today, first of all, hats off to Donnie Webb for turning that team around. But if you're a Franklin fan today, you think of what could have been, what should have been. They lose to Ravenwood and Brentwood by 7 points. And then last week, 7-6 was a score, middle of the third quarter in that football game. And then Devon Starling, everything, returned pick sixes, two of them, and at the end of the third quarter, all of a sudden, it's 28-6. So
back-to-back interception,
returns the touchdown. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, the Rebels did all right. They had over 200 yards total offense. Cane Ridge, only 304. I think they averaged about 400. Starling, what a player he is, Stormer. 17 rushes, 161 yards, and a touchdown. And I'm interested to hear what Ravenwood is planning for him, because I think that's going to be one of the big keys, is how they stop or slow down the Cane Ridge running game.
Well, Mr. Starling, his rush, his semifinals for Mr. Football, has rushed for 1,901 yards, has a total of 26 touchdowns. 26 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening. Cane Ridge, by the way, has amassed a 44-6 record since 2015.
Yep.
44-6.
That's a lot of W's.
Who else in the state, and I was hoping you'd have it written out, you can name two other teams that could possibly have that type of record.
Well, Maryville,
Maryville,
Alcoa, yeah.
And maybe Oakland.
Maybe, that's true.
That would be one for the record books right
yep.
there.
But the final is 41-6. The Rebels end up at 6-5, and you just have to look back and say what would have been, what could have been, but that's the way it goes.
Well, maybe, I mean, I know that you can't recruit in high school, and I know kids aren't transferring or anything.
Oh, no.
But I think Coach Webb should do a better job recruiting, as like Ogeron said, and as Coach
yeah, we got to recruit.
I'm sorry, that was met with mixed emotions here.
Well, Stormy, we'll move on here. Coach Matt Daniels on his way, but that's one of the 6A matchups tomorrow night here with one of our teams. Another highlighter, a big one tomorrow night, just as big. That's where you and Marcus are going to be. That's Brentwood as the Bruins host Independence. The Bruins fresh off that 31-11 win last week that you and Marcus did, 31-11 over McGavick.
And by the way, hats off, Coach Jay Gore, his McGavick Raiders, undermanned. They probably had, really good players out there going both ways. God love them. They really played their hearts out. They did make mistakes. They just ran out of gas. They had one punt block, which changed the entire complexion. It was 10-0 going into halftime. Brentwood blocked a punt, got 17-0, changed the entire complexion of the ball game. Just to be honest with you, McGavick was one play away from really turning that game around. But Jay Gore has done a really good job with the understaffed team over there. Hats off to the McGavick Raiders. I was duly impressed with
him. I agree totally, Storm. Jay Gore is a good guy. He coached at Brentwood several years ago as an assistant. He runs it. He does it the right way. And they always have good athletes, but just not quite enough.
If they had 4 or 5 more players,
yeah.
That'd have been a different ball game.
And Stormy, you were there. Michael Burke, 21 carries, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And he's not even the starter. And he's done this twice in a row because the Nicholas kid has been out, correct?
He got hurt in the Centennial ball game. I understood that they were going to keep him out. And I heard that before the game. Michael Burke, I tell you what, anytime you put number 8 in the lineup and he's your backup, well, you're not losing anything. This kid runs with such heart. He's 5'10", maybe 190-ish, maybe 180-ish. And he just got behind that big offensive line. Now, I will say this, I say this with great delicacy. They ran to the right on about 95% of the running plays. Obviously, they had the loss of the young Davis kid who was the left tackle. They made them one-dimensional in the running game. I didn't see them rolling out to the left, which is tough anyway. So they were playing to basically one side of the field. Is that something that's going to show up on the tape? Is that something that they were just maybe doing to set up in the Independence? I don't know.
Well, if you think about it, Stormy, through the season, if you look at Independence's defense, they have been vulnerable to the run. So it's going to be interesting to see what Ron Crawford's game plan is. Are they going to try to establish the run first? Because we know Cranzo can throw the ball. It'll be interesting to see.
Where Indy has been vulnerable to the run is inside the tackle, which is rare. You just basically run it through the one or two gap or the three gap. Just depend. There's just been massive holes. They haven't had the Daylon Davis kid. They've been double. He's the nose guard for Indy. He's been double teamed, and they've blown by him. It's almost had a running fest against them. The first game, if you look at Indy, won that first game 42-31.
Yep,
they had a big night. It was a dry night. I think it's gonna be dry tomorrow. The rain should abate by 10 in the morning. They're gonna play on the turf field. Should not be an issue. Which Independent team's gonna show up?
Yeah,
that's the question. Then again, Indy did a great job before, but we watched Ron Crawford for many a year coming into a ball game where, frankly, you think, I don't know how they're going to win this ball game. And at the end of the ball game, Brent was raising the helmet, walking on the field of victory, and you go, how did he do that?
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow night, is what Coach Crawford's going to do to slow down Collier, Sheffield, and a former Brentwood Bruin, Mr. Chase Bishop. And you wonder how that's going to play out.
Well, Stormy, last week, speaking of Indy, Scott Blade, he got it right last week after that embarrassment against Ravenwood, 33-14 over a very good Smyrna team, by the way.
Not surprised.
And I watched part of that game. Ethan Cash had, I think, one of his better nights, 17-32, 298 yards, 4 touchdowns, and he also rushed for 55. Sheffield caught 9 for 177. When that offense is clicking like that, they can stay with anybody. So the question is, which offense for Independence will we see tomorrow?
Which Indy team shows up, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde?
Yep, exactly. And Smyrna only gained, Smyrna only got 14 points, and they're a good football team. Indy was just ready to play last week.
I wonder how much of the Smyrna scenario and our, boy, this is tough. The coach is dealing with his wife, is really sick. She's battling cancer. And you just wonder, you know, there comes time where there's a football game and then there's real life.
That's right. Well,
and I think, how excited can you be to play a ball game when you know coach's wife is not doing well and she's fighting for her life? I got to be honest with you, that was not, even if they'd won the ball game, that would have been a very impressive coaching thing. I just don't know if their hearts were in it, but I think Indy came out, caught them, hit them in the mouth early, and kept hitting them in the mouth, and Indy played like Indy.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. So I guess which team's going to show up tomorrow night? It's going to be an interesting matchup. And of course, the winner of that one moves on, and they'll play in the quarterfinals against guess who? The winner of Cane Ridge and Ravenwood next week. How about that?
Wouldn't it be fun? And I like saying that way. Wouldn't it be fun? Because, you know, Cane Ridge was down. They were trailing last year going that last minute and a half and ran an improbable kickoff back against Ravenwood. It'd be fun to see Ravenwood go over there, play a team that is 44-6 since 2015, knock them off, come back and play the winner of the Brentwood Indy game. And that would ensure, and I'm being selfish here, that would ensure that yours truly would have to drive to Memphis on the 23rd of November and call a ball game from either Germantown or Houston or Whitehaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun for the Storm? I'd be listening and have my fireplace on, and it would be neat.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick 1 minute break. We got Redwood players starting to file in. It's Coach's Corner, and we're gonna get them fed here in just a minute. Well, let's take a quick 1 minute break. This is Sports on AM 950.
Matthews Team Sports is your full service team sporting goods dealer. Online stores, in house screen printing, top brands such as Adidas, Under Armour, and Gatorade. We handle teams from middle schools to universities and everything in between. Visit us at MatthewsTeamSports.com. Locally owned and operated, on-time delivery, and customer satisfaction are our top priority. Any sport, any season, any equipment, or any apparel need. Our team is ready to serve your team. Contact us now at MatthewsTeamSports.com.
This is Stormy Mitchell and Terry Merrill, where it's Rouds Night, where we're enjoying Coach's Corner. It's a great Rouds barbecue. The Raptors are in the building. We're going to make sure we get them fed right now. Mr. Anthony Holmes is up front placing his order. I'm not sure what he's going to get, but I doubt it'll slow him down. And also, Mr. Brian Garcia is up there, 5'11", 165. We're hoping he eats something with some potatoes in it, fatten him up a little bit there. But the Raptors are in the house.
Well, I had to look at Brian Garcia there. I didn't reckon. I should recognize him. I've seen him twice this year, but he doesn't have his uniform on. You know, it's like you don't know somebody until they dress up sometimes.
Yes, sir.
He had his helmet on. Anyway.
There you go. He looks better with his helmet on.
No, right.
I'm kidding. His dad, he heard that. I was just kidding.
Well, we're taking a look.
Getting beat up here at the crowd.
That's right. We better move on here. Coach Daniel's on the way. Let's talk about 5A in the county. Last week, Summit in three overtimes ended their season 45-42 at the hands of Beach and Stormy. What a part and soul that Brian Coleman's team showed last week. And you saw how it ended, I guess.
I understand that Beach went in and kicked a field goal, and then on the first play, they were running a jet sweep.
Uh-huh.
Wade to Wade, ball was mishandled, and don't you know they went home and fought?
No question.
Don't you know they went home and beat each other up on that play?
Three overtimes, though. They had to be dragging, but what a ball game it must have been. 408 yards for Summit, 346 for Beach. And Summit was down 28-14 in the fourth quarter in that game. So,
well, that
just
shows,
wasn't meant to be.
That shows the tenacity of the Summit Spartans.
Yep.
And we're going to remind our listeners, first of all, Mr. Wade at quarterback, freshman. His brother, a freshman. Both of them, 6 foot, about 205. And don't forget the Prince, George Odomegwu, a junior.
He'll be back.
They're going to be back. Coach Coleman's got his core coming back. You better watch the Spartans next year.
Tell me, here's a stat that will blow your mind. Summit might, on a good night, throw for what, 40 yards?
No, I watched them throw it up and down the field earlier.
Okay. Last week, it was Destin Wade, 16 of 25 for 261 yards. That's got to be a record.
Well, they don't run the same old wing tee that you used to. You haven't seen them play in the last
no,
year.
No, I have.
They come out now in the wing tee set, and they'll do the play action. They'll roll out, and Destin Wade and his brother Devin, I mean, they throw screen passes. I'm going to tell you something. The play calling for Summit this year was raised exponentially. exponentially.
Imaginative.
Very imaginative. Matter of fact, against Independence, they had four fourth down plays, a fourth and eight, fourth 10, 11, 12, even fourth and 15, and converted on all four of them. One was a halfback touchdown pass George Elamegwu threw. So, I mean, I saw stuff. I'm going, wait, what?
Well, that's good to hear because they needed to open it up a little bit.
Well, as I say, the Wade brothers are just freshmen.
Yep.
They're twins, and they're going to be twin trouble for a lot of
people. Not there for Brian Coleman. They finished 6-5. Tell me, how about those Page Patriots, Charles Rathbone? They just keep rolling along. They're 10-1, 45-14 over a pretty good Hillwood team last week. And they swap out with Summit because tomorrow night they host Beach at Rutherville. What do you think?
I tell you what, Rutherville's going to be popping and popping tomorrow night. It's going to be that's a beautiful stadium. I don't know if you've had a chance. That new turf is gorgeous. Their press box is I don't make people mad, but it's the nicest one we sit in because it's glass at all ends, and there's no impediments. You can see. You don't have to wonder where the scoreboard is. You don't have to worry about the shot clock, play clock. It's immaculate. Got air conditioning. Got heat. I got to tell you, we love going to Rutherville, and the Beach Buccaneers are not going to be a happy crowd when they leave tomorrow night.
Well, it's a tale of two different defensive game plans. Last week, Hillwood, they throw the ball about 80% of the time with the Page kid. Remember,
he's
the coach of the son of the coach. But tomorrow night, Beach runs the ball 85 or 90% of the time. And get this, Beach has only attempted Stormy 74 passes all season long. They just do not throw the ball.
Well, if you break that down to 11 games, that's seven
attempts per game, possibly six.
Well, less than that, like five and a half. The bottom line is, if Beach gets behind, and you got to remember, Mr. Burdick, Beach gets behind, their chances of catching up are slim and none.
They've got two running backs that are right at 1,000 yards apiece, does Beach. As far as Page goes, last week, Cade Walker, a big night, he had 255 yards through the air. And Michael Burdick told me every week we talk about this, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and one of those touchdowns was a 76-yard bomb from Cade Walker. The kid can play. He shows up every week.
And I just can't wait to see who's going to pick him up. You put him on a college team with a training table, the additional weightlifting, this kid, there's certain kids that have it, and we can't describe it. You know, you can watch them when they walk in the room. They've got it. Well, this kid has it.
He definitely does.
And he is a joy to watch.
Yep. Cade Walker, 1,800 yards passing this year. What a year he's had. And Stormy, the defense, we don't talk about Page's defense very much. They picked off five interceptions from the Hillwood quarterback. So, hats off to them, too. So, Page, tomorrow night against Beach. Nolensville, Stormy, 42-7 over Macon County last week. And they've got another rematch. They're going to have Maplewood tomorrow night. It's Maplewood hosting Nolensville. And about 3 weeks ago, it was Maplewood 20-13 over Nolensville. But this is going to be another close football game, I believe. And hats off, Coach Paul Derrick. What a year he's had. And that team is going to be ready to play tomorrow night.
Now, well, it's nighttime, and I got to take on the Panthers of Maplewood. And the Panthers, every year, it seems like Maplewood keeps bringing back the big guns. I mean, they got the Mr. Football semifinalist, Bobo Hodges. He leads the Panthers with 2,572 yards passing, 36 TDs, and just 4 interceptions. Now, repeat that, 2,572 yards passing, 36 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That ratio is better than Joe Montana.
And I've heard he's a pinpoint passer, too, Storm. Those numbers aren't flukes. That's a very good football team. They're 10-1. They're ranked, about number 4, I believe, in 4A.
Yep.
In the AP poll most recently. Somewhere near there. Colton Dooley, over 1,000 yards rushing for Nolensville. And, of course, sophomore quarterback Ryder Gardary. I say that right? Gardary? Over 1,800 yards passing.
Gillardy.
I wrote the wrong name down. So we'll see what happens.
Should be a good one. Nolensville just lost in a squeaker to them.
Yep.
Back in early October. That was a warm night. It was a dry night. This field's going to be wet tomorrow night. It's going to be cold. You don't know what team. You don't know how Maplewood's going to respond to that. But, hey, that's why they TNT doesn't play.
And Stormy, all four teams that made it to the playoffs in that region won. So the winner of that Nolensville-Maplewood game will play the winner of Marshall County and Tullahoma. Just like old times. How about that?
And Tullahoma's back.
Tullahoma's good.
They went from, 0-10 last year. How do you go from worst to first?
A very good football team. They were, in fact, 8-2 for the season. According to the guru, it was just their time. I mean, he had some material. He's been working with John Olive, his coach. So I guess he just
don't you love it when they say it's just their timing. It was cyclical.
Speaking of time,
let's get the guru himself here, Coach Matt Daniels, the new daddy. We're gonna talk important stuff here in a minute. Come on,
we're taking a break here.
No, we're not gonna take a break. We're gonna throw him to the wolves. Now, before we get started, I don't want to hear about the forfeit. I don't want to hear about Kane Ridge. I don't want to hear about injuries or what you've done. I want to hear about McKinley. I want the real important stuff. I want to hear about that beautiful newborn baby girl.
Well, I appreciate you asking about that because that is number one in our life
right
now, and it's been such a blessing and to come into this world with 95 older brothers.
what
warm of the Ravenwood Raptors. It's pretty special.
That's what I call instant chaperone.
Absolutely.
Should I ask, Coach, are you and your wife getting a normal amount of sleep lately?
Well, normal for November and football season, yeah, absolutely. Actually, this week she started to give us a couple four-hour chunks at a time at night, so it's actually been pretty good.
Do you have the nighttime duty?
Yeah, nighttime duty. We have our routine down pretty good, and now we haven't had a Thursday night before a game, so tonight should be interesting in terms of how it goes, but it's been a really special 4 weeks.
Well, you know you can take some barbecue home to your bride.
And we also know you like us, but we know you like Crouch Barbecue better than us, and that's okay.
We're not offended. Coach,
Stormy alluded to this, and last week, your game plan for Overton all week, we're not going to dwell on this, but and all of a sudden Thursday, you get a phone call that due to a fracas they had with Antioch previous Friday night, I guess it was, your game, you'll win 1-0 because of their own probation. But what was it like to go through that emotion of getting your team ready, and all of a sudden Thursday, you hear you're not going to have a game Friday night? Just tell us what was going through everybody's mind then.
Well, you know, it definitely caught us off guard. I was actually at home sick for the day and got to spend some time with the family and got the phone call around lunchtime, and obviously then had to kind of pivot and let everybody know at school and change our plans for a typical Thursday. So, something like that can go one of two ways. You can look at it, we get to get healthy again another week rolling into the postseason. But we felt like we were playing pretty good ball as of week 11, and that's something that can kind of force you to take a step back or present a roadblock, and we're looking at it the first way, a positive way, say, okay, we get a chance to get healthy, and we're certainly hungry to play football again, and this is probably my most anxious week getting ready for a football game just because of the unexpected layoff. So the boys, though, all year, our coaching staff and the boys have been great at adjusting. Usually that's halftime adjustments, but in this case it was a Thursday night adjustment, and I think you're going to see a team that's just ready to play a football game tomorrow night.
That's good. Do you see the week off as an advantage or disadvantage?
Honestly, I think it kind of evens out. You know, advantage with the health, but disadvantage in the fact that, you know, we felt like we were getting on a roll.
Momentum is momentum.
Yeah, momentum is momentum, exactly.
Well, I had a little commentary earlier, and we discussed double secret probation is what we called it. The only bone I had to pick with TSSAA was not the fact they did it, was their timing. They had the video on Friday night, Saturday. I mean, excuse me, and if they don't like what I'm saying, they know I live. Why couldn't they have not made this decision on Saturday at 4:00, brought in another school, or at least rearranged who plays whomever?
Right, and I think just in general, there's probably just a breakdown in communication with an organization like that, being able to be in contact with somebody at the school more often and things like that. So, you know, it's nothing we really had control over, and that's kind of what we have to tell the players too. You know, in life, there's a lot of things that are out of your control, and we have things that we can control, and that's now preparing for Kane Ridge and kind of block out the rest of the noise.
I know you were understandably upset because I know y'all wanted to play. I mean, it's another tune-up.
Absolutely. You know, and we have kids. This is kind of the selfish side of it, but we have kids that are going for school records and,
yeah,
looking to get recruited at the next level, and taking a game away from those boys can hurt them.
Last home game?
Last home game, absolutely.
So, as my daughter said, Daddy, that's just wrong. R-O-N-G wrong.
Matt Daniels visits with us. It's Kane Ridge hosting the Raptors tomorrow night, in round two of TSSAA playoffs. Coach, you alluded to week 11 just a moment ago, and let's talk about that real quickly here. Independence, you went down there, and your team was ready to play, to say the least. I know you were very proud of them, and well, you should have been, but tell us about the secrets of that game, because it was 21-0 early in the second quarter, and really, that was pretty much lights out.
Yeah, you know, it was a really good example of coming out of the bye week. We did some extra preparation, and the kids just simply executed the game plan in all three phases. We had some things in the kicking game. You know, when you've got the special athletes that Independence has, you know, you have to do some things to keep the ball out of their hands, and you have to do that in all three phases. And, you know, all three phases have to work together. That's one thing that we've been trying to do as a staff this year is say, hey, we don't just have an offensive game plan. We have a full team game plan, and we need to work together. And tomorrow night is just another example of that with Cane Ridge. You have to have a full team game plan if you expect to go in and beat a team that's 11-0, ranked number 3 in the state, and has the special players that they have. So you can kind of expect the same strategy and approach.
Well, we broadcast the ball game, and I don't think I've seen a more completely played ball game from Redwood ever. I mean, at least in the last 3 or 4 years. I was not shocked, but I mean, Coach Blade, don't get mad, but y'all dismantled it.
And I appreciate that, and we saw the same thing. And the funny part is, you know, we still did leave some plays on the field. You know, some things in the kicking game didn't go the way we wanted them, and missed a couple opportunities, you know, a fourth down call early that didn't come back and bite us. But our kids would say, hey, we still have some things we can improve on in that game, which gets everybody excited about the potential.
Well, plus, I mean, I said for the Indy folks to hear this, and I know some are listening, but it was 37-0. We had a running clock by the fourth quarter. You put in a lot of white jerseys, a lot of clean uniforms, got some really valuable playing time. How did that help the morale of the full team?
I mean, it's super special when that late in the season, in such an important game, a region game, you know, we got a lot of seniors in that hadn't seen time, and a lot of younger guys, too, to get that experience. And it was a playoff atmosphere and playing against an opponent that you might expect to play again in a couple of weeks. So invaluable in terms of experience for everybody at the end of that game.
We were frankly searching. See, we've kind of got the numbers memorized. You know, we just it's kind of we sometimes we kind of glide. And I'm going, wait. I had to put my glasses on and got to get make sure we got the right numbers. But that was a lot of fun, though.
Absolutely.
Coach, this team, way back, if you go back, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but if you go back to the Centennial game, you had 21 unanswered points to win that game. Siegel, 5 lead changes. Franklin, you won it with 4.5 minutes to go on a pass from Garcia to Shane Craig. What is it about this team? They just seem to thrive, maybe. And, of course, after that, you didn't have that many close games after those, but still, that's a special mindset, I would think, as a head coach you'd like to see.
Definitely, and I think it started with last year's senior group, the class of 2018. You know, they were a group that just with the situation that they were dealt, there was low expectations, and you know, they had to be a resilient bunch, and they showed these guys who were stepping in as leaders. You know, we're pretty junior heavy this year. It's a small senior class. The seniors that we do have just been tremendous leaders, and have kind of taken over from those 2018 guys. So I think it started last year, and these guys have carried that momentum through to this year, just being resilient no matter what has happened. You know, in the first 3 quarters and 10 minutes, we feel like we've got a shot, and you know, we've got the athletes to do it, we've got the leaders to do it, and it's a good feeling going into a football game knowing that you're never going to be out of it.
You hit Cane Ridge last year as a heartbreak. What do you see differently about their team this year as opposed to last year?
You know, there were a few weaknesses on their team last year. Offensive line, defensive line, skill guys, there were a few weaknesses. And they did graduate a decent amount of seniors. You see a lot of guys that have kind of stepped up into some of those positions. But I would just say overall, it's not the plethora of skill guys that they had last year. They had the McCray brothers. They had some pretty special athletes. Now, obviously, Starling is back. They had a move-in and Jacquez Norman. So, you know, it, out of one side of my mouth, I say they don't have the plethora of skill guys. But those two guys right there, I know most coaches in Tennessee would kill to have those guys on their team. So they do have a similar look. I think we have a similar look as well. But I think we have a little bit more experience. And to match up in the second round as opposed to the third round this year, I think we're a little hungrier with the layoff as well. So it's got a little bit of a different feel. Going in last year, it was kind of an unknown for our bunch. And this year, I think we're a little bit more confident.
I like that.
I'm sure you were at Cane Ridge last week scouting the game with Franklin. That game was 7-6 middle of the third quarter, and two pick sixes kind of did them in. But the Rebels were in the hunt.
Yeah, and we fully expected that. You know, I had talked with Donnie earlier in the week, and I said, you guys have a real shot. You know, they've played disciplined football, especially on the defense side of the ball. They're always a very tough matchup for us. We don't like to see Franklin, and so we were sitting there trying to decide who would we rather have win this game. But Franklin gave a tremendous effort, and obviously some things started falling apart in the third quarter. But I think that gives our guys some confidence too, watching, you know, a region opponent, a team that we know very well, stick with them through two and a half quarters. And, you know, it gives us some lessons to take care of the football and don't try to do too much and do your job, and maybe we'll have a shot at the end.
How surreal was it to be watching a ball game live? When instead of all, I mean, you got the crowd noise. I mean, I guess you had to pay to get in. I mean, did you get part of the gate? How surreal was it to have them take out your phones, watch the ball game, you're to watch this? How cool was it?
That was a very surreal experience. You know, standing on the track, and it felt like we were eliminated. I mean, that's the only way to describe it.
Wow.
I mean, we weren't playing on Friday night in round one. It felt like we were not a playoff team, which was, I think that was difficult for a lot of the kids, because every Friday night for the past 12 weeks, they've been playing a football game. So, you know, it was cool, though, to have a lot of the team there, most of the coaching staff there. Cane Ridge was great. You know, they saw us come in, and they were friendly to us at the gate. And, you know, they said, we'll see you next week. So it was a cool experience. We made our kids go home pretty early in the third quarter. A lot of the coaches went home to get some rest and get ready for the preparation week. But it was fun. I don't want to do that every Friday night in the
ever,
first round of the playoffs.
Ever again?
Yeah, exactly.
No bias for Ravenwood. Okay.
Oh, Coach Matt Daniels visits with us. They got Cane Ridge tomorrow night on the road. Coach, we'd be really remiss, and he's going to speak with us here in just a few minutes, but your junior quarterback, Brian Garcia, what a year he's had, what a year he had last year, and it seems to me like he's got leadership quality through and through with this young man.
He does, and it's a leadership quality that you know, the rest of the team just watches him play, and the way he carries himself on the field, and he leads through example. You know, there are some leaders, and you see that every level of sport, that they don't have to say much. It's just about the way they carry themselves and the way that they play in the heat of the competition and in clutch time and things like that. So Brian is that in every sense of the word, and it's been cool to watch him grow this year. You know, as a sophomore, he had some support with Stalk Up, and this year it's his show. So to see him take over and have the success that he's had, it's pretty cool.
He approaches 2,000 yards through the air, and one thing that when we came out for the Player of the Week, and by the way, he's the only two-week winner of Player of the Week Gateway Tire. But as you know, when we went to make the picture of you and him, he asked for the offensive line get in the picture
yeah.
with him.
Yeah, and that's the type of kid he is. I mean, he's got a great relationship with them, and he also understood, you know, what the game plan was against Independence. We weren't going to, you know, we were going to be smart with controlling the clock, and the line knew that they were going to have to step up and dominate that game, and they did just that. You know, Brian had a couple opportunities to run in some touchdowns, and he was just being thankful for what those guys do week in and week out.
And we saw you back in the summer at the coaches' gathering, you may recall, and we were sort of talking about what you thought about your big challenges for the season. Every year there's different challenges. But one thing I remember you mentioned is your secondary was pretty much decimated, I guess, from last year. And one thing you were going to do was move Jordan Smith to safety, or in the secondary anyway. That seems to have been a good move in retrospect.
Yeah, you know, and I've had to answer a lot of questions on why he hasn't been carrying the football more. But when you've got guys like Tony Rice and William Bain in the backfield, and
yeah.
You saw what they're capable of doing really all year, but especially against Independence, it makes that move a little bit easier. But Jordan Smith on the defensive side of the ball makes us a better football team. So then it's from a coaching staff decision perspective, that's a no-brainer. Jordan is he's special. Watching him fly around, safety, linebacker, we move him around and use him in different spots. And he's very unassuming. He's quiet on the field, but tell you what, he gets the job done wherever you put him.
And you think about it, Stoneman.
Yeah.
And last year's running back, I don't have the exact numbers, but he approached 1,000 yards rushing.
He did, and he didn't touch the ball for the first four games of the year, so he was a 900-yard rusher through about seven games. And again, special athlete. You know, he plays multiple sports. I think he got his knack for knocking people's socks off and carrying the football in rugby. So he's got that kind of tough
mind. We're all shaking. We said rugby. We're all going, oh, man.
I don't want any of that.
We're too old for that.
Coach Downey, you mentioned William Bain. We had William Adrian Vann on the show earlier this year, and he has fought back from an injury. And the last two games, I'm sure you're glad to have him in the mix along with Tony Rice at running back.
Absolutely. You know, and he's another leader. He's a guy that just has that personality that when he walks in the room, everybody lights up, and then he's smiling, he makes everybody laugh. So that was tough having him on the sideline not dressed out, and you could tell the whole team, the whole team's personality kind of changed when he was back in action. And, you know, he's had to work his way back, but I think Independence was his coming out party a little bit to finally feel fully healthy and, you know, back up to speed in terms of conditioning. So having those two guys in cold games in November, I mean, that's a blessing as a coaching staff.
You mentioned, three or four seniors. I guess I'm off on one there, but the majority of the team is juniors, maybe with a few sophomores trickled in. What was there a surprise this year as you look back at the season? Would a good question be what might be your most pleasant surprise with this football team?
Well, you know, one of the changes that we made, we had a couple guys coming back on the offensive line, Graham Barton, our left tackle, and Gabe Sleenhoff, our left guard. And we knew those guys were going to be good. They're big kids. They're super athletic. But we had some other pieces on the offensive line that we had to fill in with senior graduates. One of the guys that we knew we could rely on, you're going to talk to him today, is Reagan Carlson, defensive end by trade, but probably one of the most technically sound, disciplined football players that I've ever seen, ever been around. So for us, that was an easy transition. And he's the type of kid, too, that's just so unselfish. You know, we approached him and said, we need you to play guard. We think you're going to be a leader on the offensive line. And he said, Coach, I'll play wherever you want me to play.
Don't you love it? By the way, number 11, Luke Schaus, had a huge game against Independence. Every time I looked up, y'all were rushing three, dropping eight. And Terry, with rushing three, they were still getting sacks. And we were going, they could rush two. They're not going to stop them. Schaus had a big night.
Schaus and Brian Rice are probably two of the most underrated, defensive ends, defensive linemen in the mid-state and maybe in the state, because the talent and size and speed that those two guys bring, I think, were on display big time against Independence. And it's been cool to watch. Brian is he's a practice warrior. I mean, every day, it's what makes our offensive line better. And Luke, really, in the last 3 weeks, has kind of joined him in that. And it's a nightmare. I'll tell you what, as an offense coordinator, it is a nightmare getting through practice against those guys.
Well, and both of them, Terry, are juniors. I mean, it's 166, 250, and the other one's, what, 6'2", 225? Quick.
Brian's first step for a defensive lineman might be one of the quickest I've ever seen in high school.
I don't recall Independence's offensive line looking that confused and that out of sync. The term I used earlier was dismantled. I'll say it again.
Yeah, we really rode those guys. They knew they were going to have a big game because of what you just said. I mean, we did not rush more than three pretty much all night, and it was on them to get pressure.
Sounds good.
Coach, you mentioned this. Four of your five starters on the offensive line are juniors. Of course, Reagan Carlson is the only senior, but that bodes well for next year. You've got a lot of talent and a lot of experience coming back next year.
Absolutely. You know, and really the number six guy who's gotten a lot of work is actually a freshman, Trent Holloway. So the fact that he's gotten some experience as a freshman, he's a special athlete for a big guy, and again, invaluable experience for these young guys. Just with the way that this senior class is in terms of the numbers, this was the class that got split to Nolensville. So it's what we've been dealt, and it's cool that these guys are able to get the experience this year.
You know, Stormy and I have talked about this on occasion, well, quite often, actually. If you look at some of the other regions, not only in the mid-state but around the state, you may have a couple of dominant teams, and you'll have, three or four or five that are just mediocre, and you may have some that only have four teams in the region. They're all going to the playoffs. But what's it like in Region 6-6A? I mean, you've got a battle on your hands every Friday night with the likes of Franklin, Brentwood, Centennial, Independence, and Ravenwood. It's got to be something special.
It is, and the way we have to look at it and the way the kids look at it is that this prepares us for the playoffs, you know, you can't ask for a better region schedule in terms of being playoff ready and being battle tested. But man, you slip up once or twice and you're not making it to the playoffs. So every week is a critical game. And, you know, the last 2 years we've started with the Centennial game. That's going to continue next year as well. So by week one, I mean, you got to be ready. That is a critical matchup. And this year we were fortunate enough to turn it on late in the game and kind of fix some things and show what we were capable of in the last two quarters. But it is a fun region, and I think, there's a reason why we've got three of the four teams right here in this round that are from Region 6-6A.
There's no night off in our region. Well, for our listeners, Terry, let's do this. We'll get some players in a minute. Tell listeners about number 18, Luke Akers, junior kicker. He's 6'2", and he's got an explosive leg. I think that's the best way to describe him.
He does. He's got all the raw talent in the world, and he's super new to kicking. I just actually saw on the way over here that the Tennessean just published an article about Luke and his dad, so that's a good read.
They just woke up. Imagine that. Well, we saw this. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Luke's a great kid. His dad is awesome as well. He's been around helping out as a volunteer coach, but explosive leg, fantastic punter. He's got all the skill in the world, and he's done some really special things for us this year. I was just looking at his stats the other day, 38 of 40 extra points. He's only had four field goal opportunities, two of four with a long of 46, kicked a big 46-yarder for us against Franklin right before the half that a lot of people don't remember. That, to me, that was the difference in momentum in that game, kept us a little bit closer at halftime. So Luke is a special kid, and he's fun to have around. He's a great personality, and the sky is the limit for Luke, and I have a feeling that tomorrow night the kicking game is going to come into play, and we're lucky that we have a guy like Luke on our team.
I agree. Terry, let's do this. We'll let him introduce Brian Garcia, the quarterback. I know he's got to hit the road.
Sure, I was going to mention that, too. Coach, if you want to mention the five players that we're going to have on, just make a quick summary about each of them, if you would, and then we'll start with Brian because we know he's got to be somewhere.
Absolutely. So we'll start with Brian Garcia, junior quarterback. Brian's had a phenomenal year. We mentioned it before, approaching 2,000 yards passing. He's got 23 passing touchdowns, but a lot of people don't realize he's got a handful of other touchdowns as well, and he's rushed for four others, and he's actually been on the receiving end of a touchdown in the little trick play we had in the Battle of the Woods. So, absolutely, yeah. That was a fun one. That was our first drive. Joining him, we've got a senior captain, Anthony Holmes. He's our leading receiver. 9 touchdowns on the year, over 600 yards receiving. Anthony, again, you hear me mention these personalities. Anthony's got probably the most bubbly personality on our team, always smiling, and he's just a joy to coach. He'll be fun to talk to you guys as well. We've got William Bain. He's one of the two-headed monsters in the backfield. He's a senior. He actually took a year off last year to rest his back, and it's been special having him back on the field this year. Drake Anthony is a senior linebacker, also plays a big role on special teams. Drake's a guy that got some experience last year on special teams, and he's a senior leader on our defense. And then, as I mentioned, Reagan Carlson before, offensive line. He does still get some time on the D-line as well, but a big-time senior leader for us on the O-line.
All right. We look forward to talking with them. Coach, get you some Strouds and sit by us over here, and we'll talk with them, and then we'll wrap up with you when we finish. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. Thanks.
Right. Let's get Brian Garcia up here. I know here's a shortstop. I mean, this little-known fact, this guy's just a fair baseball player. He's grinning at me, looking at me like, and I can play shortstop. Good to have you on the show tonight. Hope you had enough Strouds tonight. Terry, don't you live?
Brian, how are you? Glad to have you.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. 5'7", 170. No, that's excuse me, that's Anthony Holmes. Let's start all over. 5'11", 165.
He just ate some Stroud tonight. What'd you have, by the way?
I had a chicken, a baked potato, and some baked beans.
Okay. Well, he's
a man of my heart. That's exactly what I have.
There you go.
Brian, what was it like last week? We were talking with Coach Daniels about this. You practice all week, you get prepared for Overton, and all of a sudden, Thursday, you find out you're not having a game. Was that sort of a letdown? And along with that, how did you all handle that?
Oh, yeah, I was at a lot. Just preparing for a team all week long. It's a big game, obviously, because it's the first round. And, a lot of our locker room didn't really like it. But at the end of the day, you advance and move on. So another week to rest. But we wish we could have played last Friday.
How surreal was it to be on the Goat Cane Ridge and stay on the sidelines and actually watch a game instead of seeing a quote film of it?
Yeah, it was helpful to see some of their tendencies, their playmakers, and just how they move to the ball to, like, certain formations, and just how to prepare for them helped a lot better seeing them live.
Y'all had a pretty tough game a couple weeks ago back. It was the South Warren. How did that ball game prepare you for this playoffs?
That was a defense that was good in all 11 spots, especially the front seven, and we just couldn't get anything going. And I think we took it into the next week of practice and the next game, and just we don't want that embarrassment again.
Well, and you also, right after that, you came back to be the Gateway Player of the Week after a pretty nice performance. What impressed me is you included your entire offensive line. What was behind that thought process?
They just have been doing such a good job all year long, and I feel like they don't get the credit they deserve all the time. So I thought it was the right thing to do and include them.
I tell you what, that hit an old man right in the south.
I'll say this, Stormy. When I made the picture, I felt protected behind the Hogs because that's what they call themselves. It was a great day.
They actually looked pretty good then.
Yes, I was
shocked.
Brian Garcia is a junior quarterback for Ravenwood. The Raptors get ready for Cane Ridge tomorrow. And, Brian, let's talk real quick about Cane Ridge tomorrow night, a team you played a year ago. Has that sort of been the way that game ended last year in the back of your mind all year, or is it totally obliterated now and you played the season without thinking about that?
Oh, yeah. We knew towards the end of the year that we'd likely, hopefully, see them in the second round. And I think it's been a big motivation on and off the field, just knowing that you get a rematch with the team that put you out last year.
Let me ask you this, and you also, for the listeners, you're an excellent, an exceptional shortstop baseball. How do you balance football and baseball, and how does one make the other one better?
I think always throwing a football and a baseball just helps, like, with each other, just because right after football, just picking up that baseball and throwing it quite a bit, I don't get as sore. And with baseball, same thing. I'm just always throwing, so then right when I go into football that summer, I'm sore for a little bit, but it goes away pretty quickly.
Sounds good.
You got lots of juniors on this team. Four of the five offensive linemen will be back with you next year. Who are some of the seniors you're going to miss, though, having when they graduate going into next season?
Oh, all of them.
Great answer.
What a great answer offensively, because Reagan is one of our better linemen, and Anthony can just make plays. You get him the ball in space, so that's going to be tough next year.
Now, you've got another year, obviously. What have you thought about your plans after you graduate from Ravenwood? Are you going to try to pursue any sport necessarily, or just be a student?
I like to play some type of college sport. I don't know which one yet, but probably just one that I have a better future at.
Isn't that great? He's got an option. He's an option.
Exactly. He took the words out of my mouth.
What options did we have? The answer is no.
That's right. Brian, we're going to let you run. We know you got to be somewhere. We appreciate you stopping by tonight, and we've enjoyed watching you play this year and last year, and we'll look forward to next year as well. And also, good luck tomorrow night when you all travel over to Cane Ridge, and hopefully we'll see you in the quarterfinals next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, before he goes, I know your dad's listening. Anything you want to tell your dad? Because he's always, you know, chasing me around saying something. You want to say something to your dad?
Hey, Dad. How you doing?
All right, there he goes, Brian Garcia. He's Mr. Cool. Good to see you.
I tell you what, let's do that. We're going to get the others on here in a minute. Let's go in and take a real quick, let's take a 1 minute break. Let's do a quick 1 minute break. Don't make it 2 minute break. Make a 2 minute break. Get the top of the hour in, then we'll come back to the other side with the remainder of the Raptors. This is Sports on AM 950.
Hey, everybody, this is Stormy Mitchell, the sports team, and sometimes change is necessary. And recently, I made a change in all my insurance needs by switching over to Farm Bureau. My agent and good friend, Scott Murphy, handled all the details. And in the process, I was able to save even more money on my auto and home insurance. Scott Murphy's Farm Bureau agency is located at 1010 Murfreesboro Road, Suite 126 in the Maple Woods Shopping Center. His local number is 615-794-1104. He's highly decorated with Farm Bureau. He's on the Honor Council, Present Award winner, and top 10 agency in the state of Tennessee. For your insurance needs, call my good friend and great supporter of high school sports, Scott Murphy, at 615-794-1104, and be sure to tell them Stormy sent you.
Hello, this is Garth Bolden with Gateway Tire and Service Center. Located on Cool Springs Boulevard and McEwen Drive in Franklin, Tennessee, Gateway Tire and Service Center is your local Yokohama tire dealer, and we're proud to have served Williamson County for over 25 years. Take advantage of our full service center, including our new custom shop. Give us a call at 615-771-7080 for all your car needs, including Yokohama tires, custom wheels, and more. Gateway Tire and Service Center, your local Yokohama tire dealer.
Well, young man, I hope you've learned a lesson. No more batting ball this close to my house.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're paying for my picture window that Lewis Glass had to replace.
Yes, ma'am.
Those Lewis Glass folks were very nice, Sonny Boy. And speaking of that...
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to mow my grass this summer to pay for that replacement glass from Lewis Glass.
Yes, ma'am.
By the way, son, how old are you anyway?
I'm 46.
Louis Glass, 106 Century Court in Franklin. Call 615-790-1977.
We're back at Coach's Corner. This is Stormy Mitchell. Merrill, and we're having a great time at Clouds Barbecue tonight. Terry, the Raptors are in the house.
Stormy, they are. We just had Brian Garcia, the junior quarterback for the Raptors, and right now we've got Anthony Holmes. He's a 5'7", 170-pound wide receiver, and also William Bain, the running back, who has really added a lot of punch to that Raptor offense, 5'9", 195, for the last couple of weeks or so. I believe he's been back from an injury. We'll start with William. William, how you doing? And we've seen you here at Stroud's before, and we know you're not coming just to see Stormy and I. It's the barbecue that does it, right?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
It's good to have you back. And how was it playing against Indy the other night? It was kind of a cold, rainy, windy night. Your thoughts on that ball game?
No, we were obviously the underdogs that game. They didn't think that we were going to pull it off. So we just had to go make a statement. And that was a really big game for us. We could have ended up being the region champs. It didn't go the way we wanted, but that's all good. It was just overall, we needed that win going into the playoffs, being our final regular season game. So we had to make something happen.
How much fun was it as a senior coming off basically almost a couple of years, a year and a half worth of injuries to be able to strap it on and get to play?
Yeah, and it felt really good to be able to be back out there. Like I didn't play varsity games since sophomore year, so it was very nice to be back out there.
It was nice seeing number 8 from the press box. I can assure you.
Yes, sir.
You feel like you're fully recovered from the injury now, 100%?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how about Kane Ridge this week now? You had him last year. You let him get off the hook. Has that sort of been in the back of your mind this season? Or is it, we asked Brian the same question. Have you thought any at all about Kane Ridge before this week?
I think we take it one game at a time, and I think they probably were on our mind a little bit, but for the most part, we take it each week and game by game.
I'll ask the same question I asked Brian. How surreal was it to be on the sideline instead of sitting in a room watching a replay of the video?
It was a lot different. I think it was just a different environment for me, and glad to be finally back out there.
That was good.
William, you're a senior this year, and one of the captains, and what are your plans after you graduate at Ravenwood?
I plan to go to Tennessee in Knoxville and major in business.
All right. You gonna try to walk on the football team?
I've that's been in the back of my head. I think I could possibly try to be like a special teams player, but anything's possible, so I might.
Very good. Well, we're glad you're over your injury, and you've really added a lot to the Ravenwood offense, and we look forward to you having a big game tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Always good to send the trail.
Yep, absolutely. Anthony Holmes is the other half of this contingent here. We've got two more after this. Anthony, welcome in.
How you doing tonight?
You want to scoot up just a little bit?
Terry, we've got feed on earlier. I thought we'd have Mr. Carlson was paying attention back there.
So I thought we'd have the skill players first, and we'll have the beef coming on.
Oh, they're going to come and beat me is what they're going to come to.
Anthony, senior receiver, how fast has the Ravenwood career gone by for you? All of a sudden, that's going to be graduation time here pretty soon.
Yes, time definitely flies. I remember playing my first varsity game sophomore year, and I can see myself maturing over the years, and it's awesome to see, but it's been going by pretty fast.
In that first sophomore game, what'd you weigh, about 140?
About 125, actually. Probably. If I'm lucky.
I'm serious. I remember that. I go, oh, good Lord, don't hit him. Just don't hit him. Please don't hit him.
I remember they used to tell me to block the biggest linebackers on our team to practice, and I was just so small in it. It was more like they were just running through a little papier-mâché wall or something.
I was going to say, wait a minute, I know exactly. Yeah, that's why.
Tommy can identify with that.
That's why I'm on the microphone over here.
Anthony, talk about what's your comparison of last year's Ravenwood team and this year's? Y'all got a bunch of juniors on this team, very few seniors, for one thing, but just in a nutshell, how's this team different from last year?
Well, I mean, last year was definitely senior heavy. We had a lot of energy last year, but this year I think we've learned how to fight back. We were down big early in the season, had to come fight back with those. And I think it helped us in the long run just so we know how to handle situations so we don't get stressed out. And it was big for our team because now no matter what circumstance we're in, just play our game, keep doing what we're doing.
And of course, you've got Brian Garcia throwing to you again for 2 years in a row. How much does it help that you all have played together for a while now and you know each other's tendencies?
Honestly, it's perfect because you don't have to work on timing. You know your timing with your QB. The routes are always on the money. Like, you can add things in weekly or however you need to. You can adjust quick. It's just good to have someone that you've been with for a while so you can connect with on the spot.
How often you come back to huddle and say, hey, I was open?
I don't really like to do that. Team play player. Whoever's open, open.
I'm watching.
I might fade to Dirty Dan at practice a couple times, but
Coach Daniels over laughing.
I know he knew
that was coming.
I won't say in the game. I'll ask for some hot routes in the game, though, especially with the other receivers.
If you had to pick one game that was the biggest challenge for you all this year and showed the greatest opposition, who might that be?
Honestly, I'd probably say Franklin was my roughest game. I had a fumble in the backfield. It didn't cost us the game, thank goodness, but that game helped me move on. That was my little slump for the season, and I wanted to pick up from there.
All right, you got Canyon Ridge, a team that beat you in the quarterfinals last year. What do they do on defense that's going to affect what you all do on offense?
Well, I mean, nothing that they do is going to affect our game. Which
all right.
We're going to have to do what we do. So we practice what we do for a reason. There's no reason to push anything up just because it's a big game. I mean, we got to stick to our game plan and just do what we do.
Coach, did he know those questions before you all came tonight?
I'm loving his answer.
Have you been thinking about Canyon Ridge up before this week?
Not really. I mean, I didn't think about him until after Independence when they said, hey, we may get Canyon Ridge second round, we may get Franklin. Honestly, it doesn't bother me who we play. When we go on the field, the game, you got to play it.
Senior year, what's in store next year for you?
Next year, I don't know what college I'm attending, but hopefully looking for a nice history major, European history. I don't know how far. Probably, definitely master's or higher, but, well, we'll see.
Very impressive. Any thoughts of continued play?
I'd love to keep playing. This game has done a lot for me. I'd love to keep doing as long as I can. Can't play forever. I got a good backup plan, but hopefully I can play a little longer than I want to.
I can't add to that. I think we've enjoyed watching you play, as we told William, and good luck tomorrow night against Canyon Ridge, and we'll see you next week somewhere. Okay.
Good to see you both out here, boy. The Raptors are in the house. Terry, first of all, I got one word, and that's impressive. Let's get Drake Anthony up here, and also Reagan Carlson. He promises not to hurt me. He's going to be nice. We fed him. See, we fed him. See, that's what we do. We feed him, and that way it takes the edge off, calms them down a little bit.
Tony, if I recall, we had Drake here before, and Reagan, I think we had both you guys here before.
Yes, right? We have.
Yeah. Start with Reagan. Reagan Carlson, please.
Jeez.
Now, wait a minute. I knew that. No, what I was going to say about Reagan was...
That's where he sat last time.
He's a small fry on the offensive line, 6'1", 210. Remember when we came over to make the picture the other day?
Yes, I do.
And he looked at me and he said, I'm the small fry of this lot. And I looked at this weight chart, 255, 255, 250, and he is 210. But that's the biggest 210 I've ever seen. And you hold your own with that offensive line, though.
Oh, yeah. Those guys always make fun of me because I am definitely the smallest guy on that offensive line compared to everyone. And even some of the underclassmen, they weigh more than me. And they always poke fun of me and stuff, but I always like to just remind them, I'm like, hey, I'll beat you anytime, any place that you need it. I'll beat you every time.
You can measure his height and his weight. You can't measure his heart. This kid's got about a 300-pound heart, I'm going to tell you. We've had the pleasure of interviewing him before.
Reagan, you're the only senior on the offensive line, starting the offensive line. Do you wish you had one more year to come back and play with these guys one more time, one more season?
Oh, yes, definitely. These junior guys, they are some of the best and just some of the best football players I've ever had the pleasure of playing with. Garcia is a great quarterback, and then the left side with Graham and Gabe, those guys are great. You know, we're always pushing each other harder. And then my right tackle, Avery Husbands, he and I, we have a great time blocking, and he's really good on the fly, you know, with those different types of blitzes that Coach Fowler throw at us in practice. I would want to play with
him. I'm glad you brought that up. How tough is it going up against Coach Fowler? Because, I mean, he came out last game y'all played at Indy, rushed 3, dropped back 8, and you could see the deer in the headlight looks from the Indy team. How does that affect y'all in practice?
We hate it. We do inside run, and he comes up with what we call the stupidest blitzes that we've ever seen, but they work every time. We don't know how. We block it as best we can, but our defensive guys are so athletic, and he just has such good football knowledge that his blitzes work every time, and it really makes us mad.
That's good. It's a learning experience there. Uh-huh. I mean, you won't face anybody else calling that type of defense, will you?
No, we won't. It's good, but it's annoying.
Oh, he's getting you prepared.
Yeah.
What does Canyon Ridge throw at you as far as your offensive line? What's going to be important to you all to move the football tomorrow night?
What's going to be important is getting a push on these guys. These guys are not going to just roll over and let us push them down the field. We got to really come at them full speed when we run the ball, because this game is going to be played on the field. It won't be in the air much. We're going to play it on the field as much as we can. And if we can't move the guys, if we can't get movement at the line of scrimmage, pitch, then we're not going to be able to move the ball.
How surreal was it? I'll keep asking the same question. Being at the game, on the sidelines, watching them play rather than watching, I know you've watched tape or video since, but how surreal was that?
It was a really good experience to see them, because in film, the size, you can't really tell size in film, and you need to see them up close and personal to really get a feel of what they do and how they look and their defensive fronts and all that stuff. And it was really important for us.
Did you pinpoint the one guy you knew you going to be blocking? Did you watch him? Watch his?
Yes, 72. I don't know his name, but he's the guy that I'm blocking, and I've watched him, and he's pretty good. He's a big boy in there, and so me and Avery Husband's going to have a pretty interesting night with him.
Yeah, I like how he plays that.
Reagan, who's the best defense? Who has the best defense that you've played against this year personally?
Franklin had a really good defense. Their defense was really good. They had a couple of big defensive linemen in there. Can't really think of anyone else. South Warren, yeah, they had really good defense in there. Got a concussion from that nose guard in there. He messed me up. But
have you recovered?
I have recovered, yeah.
How can you tell? No.
Reagan Carlson is an offensive line, the only senior offensive lineman on the team. Speaking of that, what's in store after graduation from Ravenwood?
I'm going to go to UT Knoxville, and I'm going to study business and hopefully get my accounting degree and my CPA degree.
You're way too vociferous to be an accountant.
It's more of just a backup plan. I'm planning to explore my options at UT Knoxville, but everyone needs an accountant in business. So
that's true, and I would rather scratch my eyeballs out than sit down and do my accounting work.
That's a mature outlook there for sure.
I like it. Very, very impressed.
Stay with us, Reagan. We're going to talk to Drake Anthony now. Drake's 5'11", 215, a linebacker. Welcome in.
Thank you.
Now, I was not indicating that Reagan is bigger than you by any stretch. I just remembered talking to him over there that day we were there, and I wanted to gig him a little bit on his being the underling in the offensive line. Cane Ridge tomorrow night, Drake. You played against a lot of good offenses. What do they bring to the table? I know they've got a good running game, among other things.
Well, they bring a lot of athletes that a lot of teams don't really have, but more than anything, this team is just good overall as a team. Everybody in the state knows that there's a reason they're undefeated and they're the number three in the state. And so overall, just looking at the team as a whole, they're going to be tough to beat. They obviously have Mr. Football, possible candidate in the backfield, and just they have some really good athletes.
What does Starling, you're talking about Devon Starling, I guess, what makes him the running back that he is? How is he different from maybe some of the others that you've played against this year?
Well, we've watched a lot of film on him, and it's really hard because he's pretty close to my size, but for some reason people just can't tackle him. He's just really elusive, and he's confident. He knows he's good, and everyone else knows he's good. He just comes in with a lot of just swagger.
I wouldn't ask you to give away any trade secrets, but can we say that Coach Fowler has some special things under his sleeve for tomorrow night?
I mean, always. He always plans really well, specifically for the other team's offense, and it's just incredible how every week he has a new game plan for a new team.
How's that been, having him as your coordinator?
It's different, because I grew up at Woodland Middle School with the same coach, and then coming into Ravenwood, played under a similar system on defense. But then with Fowler, when I moved to linebacker, everything started changing, because it's every week it's a different game plan, except the same ideas and same basics, but the whole concepts are all different.
How about his intensity?
It varies day to day. Some days he's happy and joyful and joking around. Some days it's lock in and we better start being serious.
Sounds like a typical American to me, Storm.
Sounds like me whether I've had my coffee in the morning or not.
Drake, you're one of the senior captains. What are your plans after you finish at Ravenwood?
I'm really not sure. Right now, the plan is to head to Tennessee and study sports management and then go into pre-law, but I'm really not sure if that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Well, knowing you, you'll succeed in whatever you decide to do, and we've enjoyed watching you play. And best of luck tomorrow night and the rest of the season.
Thank you.
That's right.
All right.
Let's just see who they can play next week.
That's exactly right.
I like that.
Well, we know who it'll be. Well, we know who the two teams would be. We'll put it that way. Drake Anthony and also Reagan Carlson. Reagan, thank you for coming, and good luck with the big OL tomorrow night, because it always starts in the trenches, right?
Always starts there.
All right. Good luck tomorrow night, and we'll see you in the quarterfinals, okay?
Y'all go get some more banana pudding or something, Dad, on the digital way. You'll run it off. Let's get Coach Daniels over here to finish up. I'd like to one question. question that I asked Anthony Holmes if he ever comes back to the huddle, and you just died laughing. What did I say that was correct or incorrect?
Well, I was laughing. He answered it right, and he does say it probably more in practice, but I'm sitting next to Anthony's mom, actually, and we were laughing. I leaned over to her and said, it would be a problem if you had a receiver that didn't want the ball. So I like that attitude a lot.
Very good.
And Coach, I'll just say this before senior captains that are here, along with Brian, very impressive, very articulate, respectful, nice. You got a good group of kids.
You know, I'll never forget my first interview here with you guys after I got the job, and the talk was about how special the opportunity is to coach at Ravenwood, and it's because of the people there, and it, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to the parents, and the kids have been given to us, you know, as really good young men, and it's our job to keep that trend going for them. And it's been an unbelievable 2 years as the head coach at Ravenwood. It's very special.
If you could use one word to describe this team, or a phraseology to describe this team, what would it be?
Not finished. I think you know, last year the talk was unfinished business, and not necessarily Cane Ridge. That just happens to be where we ended our season last year, and where we have an opportunity to make sure that doesn't happen tomorrow night. You know, I think the guys feel like, guys who especially got experience last year, felt like we left some things out there last year, and we could have still been playing in round 4 and 5. So these guys have some things that they want to accomplish. They set goals, and we're not there yet.
How much did that motivate them?
A lot. I mean, they got to witness a huge senior class, you know, a lot of tears on that football field, and that's something I think, you know, I talked to Brian a lot about it. He said he couldn't sleep through Christmas. He was thinking about it for a month after, and you know, as competitors, that's always going to be motivation. Whether you get to see Cane Ridge again, you're always going to be at that moment where it's do or die, it's win or go home, and to have that feeling in the back of your mind, It's a good motivator.
You know, we, as many coaches as we talked to over the years on the show and around the area, and players too for that matter, it seemed even coaches that win championships and everything like that, it's not, they don't really, they remember them, but the ones that stick in their head are not the ones they won. It's the ones that just got away, or they were so close. And maybe that's sort of, maybe that's sort of a mindset with Cane Ridge to motivate your team tomorrow night even more.
Definitely. And, you know, I teach psychology, and we talk about these emotions all the time. And negative emotions tend to be stronger and tied to these memories and things like that. So it is something that, you know, I think everybody, including last year's senior class, has kind of marked on their calendars to say there's probably going to be an opportunity to see these guys again. There's probably going to be an opportunity to do everything we can to not end our season at Cane Ridge High School. And here we are tomorrow night.
How many times or how often, other than every 5 minutes, do you incorporate something from football into your psych class and vice versa?
Well, I'm glad he said vice versa, because it is a lot. You know, in psychology, in the classroom, we teach about real life examples, and it is just amazing the examples I can take from football and from coaching and weave into the classroom. But the other way as well, and you know, talking about things like motivation and emotion, I mean, that is the game of football, and mainly it's controlling your emotions, controlling motivation, using those things to your advantage. So it is fun. And you know, Fowler, you got to talk to him a few weeks back, and you hear how his mind works, and when he and I get to talk about those things and how we want to use them with the team, it's pretty fun.
I can only imagine. After the season, if y'all win the state championship and you bring the trophy here, maybe you could spend 5 to 10 minutes working with my psychological deficit. and I know it would take longer than that, but I just thought, no.
It'd be my pleasure.
he's a lost case.
Coach, what about the plan for tomorrow after school? We're going to let you run here. Is it a normal Friday in the sense of you do what you've done all season?
Yep, normal Friday. We're going to have our team meal. We're going to rest. You know, get on the buses as early as we can and get over there and hopefully stay warm. I know it's supposed to be a cold night, but, you know, I have a feeling it's going to be eerily similar as last year. And, you know, it's like I said, with the layoff last week, this team is hungry just to play some football. It doesn't matter who we line up against. We want to play some football.
And what's going to be important for Ravenwood to come away with a win tomorrow night?
As I could say pretty much every week, taking care of the football, scoring when we have the opportunities to. So, you know, field goal is a victory against a team like Cane Ridge. And sound tackling. Our guys have done it all year. The young defense, that all they know is to fly around, have energy, and we see good things when that happens. So if they keep doing that tomorrow night, I think it's going to be a really fun ball game.
It's been a lot of fun to watch you this year. Let's keep it going, and good luck tomorrow night at Cane Ridge.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the support.
We'll bring back a big W tomorrow night. It's great.
Yep.
Great
Coach job. Matt Daniels of Ravenwood, as they go to the second round tomorrow night. And
he's got a wife and some babies to go home to, and they're going to take some barbecue with system, and that's imperative. Don't come home. Never come to Stroud to come home empty-handed. If you do, you're in deep, deep trouble. Hey, I appreciate David Hughes tuning in tonight. I know he's listening in Kentucky, and as we call him, Lieutenant Dan.
What's he doing in Kentucky?
Doing some contracting work up there. He's very multifaceted, multi-talented, and he travels with the company, and they're doing some work, I think, in the Shepherdsville, Kentucky area. By the way, the world's best go-kart track is up there.
Shepherdsville. I know right where that
just
is.
Just south of Louisville.
Yep.
And go to Cart Cruncher. Spell the K. Spell the K. And he's going to make somebody happy with that barbecue. That a boy. Coach Matt Daniels and the Raywood Raptors might hear from Coach's Corner.
Joe, we got a couple of minutes yet.
Terry, we're at 24. We can take all 6 minutes. Keelan Fisher, as usual, is doing a great job at Studio A. And by the way, a reminder for you Raptor fans, you want to hear a replay of this, tune into www.akmworldwide.com/games podcast. This entire interview of all our Raptors will be on there. We'll send this to Coach Daniel and his crew. You remind them of that. That way they can tune it in.
Stormy, we've been doing this so long, we read each other's mind. That's exactly what I was going to talk about was the podcast. I was going to mention it. I wasn't going to talk about it. But Keelan has done a really good job to put that together for us, and we really appreciate it. And the quality of the sound of these shows that I've listened to on the replay have been fantastic.
FM quality.
Indeed. From a Class 6A, let's look real quick. Some Mid-State teams involved tomorrow night in the second round. It's going to be Hendersonville with a tall order after that big win over Riverdale last year. The Commandos tomorrow night travel down to Rutherford County and take on number 2 ranked Oakland. I don't know.
That's a long way to drive. Get your hat handed to you. Next.
Say no more. Okay, next. Now, here's an interesting game. Blackman travels to Mount Juliet. Mount Juliet demolished Cookeville last week, and Blackman did the same with Lebanon. What do you think about that one?
That's a game Mount Juliet's undefeated.
Undefeated.
This ball game. Mm-hmm. Blackman's lost, what, 2-1, 1-2?
Blackman's 8-2.
Eight
or 9-2 now, yeah.
9-2.
Uh-huh. Excuse me, 10-1. I'm sorry.
Okay, I thought they lost one. They lost 1-2 Oakland.
Oakland.
I don't know how good the competition has been against Mount Juliet. If I had to just say, okay, my initial pick, Blackman in a blaze. Okay.
I would agree with that.
No pun intended.
I would agree with that. Although Mount Juliet, I think, is going to be fired up at home.
Well, they'll be fired up.
Yep.
They're going to fire up. They're going to burn out by the second
That's
quarter.
Right. Stormy, of course, in our neck of the woods, we got Ravenwood at Cane Ridge, and the other one is Indian Brentwood. The winner of those two games will play next week in the quarterfinals. And if Brentwood beats Independence tomorrow night, the Bruins would be at home next week to host either Cane Ridge or Ravenwood. If Indy were to beat Brentwood tomorrow night, then it would be Indy hosting either Cane Ridge or Ravenwood.
We have a home game in Williamson County either way tomorrow, next week.
And as you mentioned, you extrapolate from that, the winner of the quarterfinal would travel to Memphis Town, your old stomping grounds.
Unfortunately, yes.
To take on Houston, Whitehaven, Memphis Central, or Germantown.
Yeah, there's four pretty good teams down there. And if they play Central, they'll play at the old Crump Stadium on mm-hmm. turf. If they play at Whitehaven, they'll play at Whitehaven, and they're on turf. If they play at Houston, there's a grass field. If they play at Germantown, it's a grass field. So, and I've played on Crump Stadium, and I've played on Germantown's field, but not the others.
And Stormy, I don't know, I don't want to say this too loud, but compared to years past, I don't think Whitehaven is just quite as good as they have been.
No, Robbie Salisbury, he wouldn't get upset with it. He would say, Mr. Merrill, you're right on target. We, the Tigers have underperformed this year, and there's something we're going to do to fix it.
Most of the experts would say in Germantown, so far, that looks pretty good to me.
The Red Devils haven't been back to prominence, statewide prominence, since Ken Netherland was the coach. And did I just pull a name from the past?
Boy, and that guy was a legend.
A legend. Always the phenom. Great coach. Never had the pleasure of playing against him or for him. But Coach Ken Netherland he's an icon in Shelby County. There's no doubt.
There's no question. Stormy, Page and Beach, we talked about it earlier. The Patriots.
Go Patriots.
Yep, go Patriots. And the winner of that game plays the winner of Shelbyville and Hillsboro. And that could be a dandy right there. And if you're a Page fan, do you really want to play Shelbyville again? Well, it's either them or Hillsboro. So what do you think?
The answer is no. Coach Rathbone, it doesn't matter. Bring them on.
Bring them on. Bring them on.
Now, we have mentioned Fairview, who's taking on East Nashville.
We're working on it.
Good. Okay. We're about out of time.
Okay. I got 1 minute. Fairview, East Nashville. And let me throw a couple of numbers at you. Chris Hughes has got a challenge offensively. East Nashville's defense has given up 12 points per game, period. And having said that, defense travels. Cam Harris Lusk, a big year, 1,580 all purpose yards. And Logan Nardozzi, the sophomore power running back, maybe the best that he's coached. And that's saying a mouthful. forward with Chris Hughes. I think Fairview is going to give East Nashville all they want, and I think they may win the game. I'm going to go on record here. Most people are picking East Nashville. I understand that. They're 10-1, but this might be Chris's speediest team he's had in a few years.
Well, I'll have you know, as Marty Fox would say, now, friend, Mr. Mitchell picked Fairview.
There
it picks right there. It says right there, that ugly guy, the fourth one.
Interesting.
And I think I had some people that thought I should pick East Nashville, but I went,
who in the world would that have been?
I'm not going to call your name on the radio, Terry Merrill.
Thank you so much.
But the bottom line was, I just thought, wait a minute. Chris Hughes, the mean machine, the tradition continues. I just thought the Yellow Jackets were going to pull some out. And I got to tell you, if they win, I'm going to look like a genius, but I think East Nashville's a better team.
Well, that doesn't mean they were going to win, though. And I can say, Stormy, go Yellow Jackets.
That's right. Huh? The fear of the scene.
We can. That's right. And Stormy, Brentwood Academy, Division II, real quick, travels to Memphis to take on a very good Christian Brothers team. And I got to tell you, Brentwood Academy's lost two of the last three. This is no gimme. Don't be surprised.
I had a hard time with that pick.
Yeah,
I got to be honest with you. I sat over that one. I bowled over that one. I even called three cheerleaders that they were former cheerleaders for.
What did they say?
They go, oh, they playing tomorrow night? It's my niece. They were retired. They didn't know.
Coach Thomas McDaniel, you know him from Rutherford County, man.
Listen, when in doubt, you got to go. You got to go with the local folks. I went with BA. Cody White better make me look good.
That's right. And speaking of making you look good, BGA travels to Knoxville. A little more challenge than people think at Knoxville Webb. And if Rock Batten and his team can get by that one, they take home probably Notre Dame next week, or the winner of Notre Dame and Franklin Road Academy.
But Notre Dame is wrong.
Yes.
They've come in this thing 9-1. Notre Dame, if you recall, Terry, knocked off CPA last year. And the Hall of Panels picked CPA to win, including yours truly. And we were disappointed. And we were wrong. So
the good news for BGA is they're not in the same bracket with CPA and Lausanne, because one of them's going to knock the other one off before they get to Cookeville. So that's it. You couldn't set it up better for Brock Batten and BGA, in my opinion.
All right, let's jump.
There we are.
The last question. Last question of the night is not what you're ordering from Strauss, because you're very predictable. We already know that.
Could change.
It could. Yeah, it could, but it won't. Now here's the real question. What's the final score of the Tennessee Kentucky game? Kentucky's not won in Neyland Stadium in 39 years.
It's 1984. I was there. We had a car breakdown on the way home. I remember it very well. It was freezing cold. Tony Robinson was the quarterback for the Big Orange.
You had a lot of fun that day.
A lot of fun. I'm going to take Tennessee in the upset. I'm going to say 24-21. Yes, sir.
All right. You heard it first right here. Mark it down. Somebody write that one down. 24-21. Tommy Camps would be happy to hear that. The Volunteers. No, wait a minute. You know what's sad about that prediction?
What?
You just said 24-21 Kentucky in an upset when Tennessee's playing at home. That, Terry Merrill, is heresy.
Well, Kentucky's a three-point
favorite. It's heresy.
I can't believe you quote. I'm picking Tennessee because of the home field advantage and the fact that Kentucky cannot be as high as they were last week for Georgia. How about that?
Well, it's funny that you would say that. I'll go with you off there on that. The good news is we've had a great time at Coach's Corner. Coach Matt Daniel and his Raptors. It's always good to be here. The great folks at Stroud's, where they can feed a family of 4-15-99. For Keelan Fisher and Terry Merrill, this is Stormy Mitchell. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Tomorrow night, game of the week, Indy at Brentwood.
Going to bed, Dandy, Stormy. Y'all have a good one.
Pre-game, 6:30, kickoff, 7 p.m. Y'all tune in. This is Sports on AM 950. Good night, everybody.